Well, good morning and happy Mother's Day, everyone. If I haven't gotten a chance to meet you yet, my name is Tim, and I'm one of the pastors here. And we really are thankful for all the moms in the room today. And I recognize that today might not be an exciting day for you because of the world that we live in, because it's packed with sin and hurt and pain. I recognize that there are women and men in this room who have lost their mothers. I know that there are some of you in this room that you've lost children, and so Mother's Day is not an exciting day. I know some of you are estranged from your mothers or from your kids, and the thought of celebrating Mother's Day is not really a fun time. But I want to say that even on a day like today, there is reason to celebrate, because in God's grace and mercy, he has adopted us and brought us into his family, and because of that, we can really celebrate. I also know that there's a lot of you in this room, you don't have the legal title of mom, but you play a significant role in the lives of our kids. We have kids workers, youth workers, we have aunts, we have a lot of people who step in and pour into and love on our kids. And for that, we just want to say thank you. We really, really value all of you. Well, today we're going to be in a passage that maybe we haven't been in a while or at all. And we're going to look at this passage where God talks about and deals with two different ladies. We have one lady who can't have children. But she's actually been given a promise that she would not only have children, she would have an abundance of kids. And she's been waiting for years, even over 10 years for that promise, and still she has no children. There's also another lady in that story. She probably wasn't planning on having kids, or at least the way that this all unpacks. And so we're going to look at this story and see how God interacts with both of these women, because both of them are at this point in their life where things are getting messy, it's feeling difficult, and life is feeling unbearable. And so if you have your Bibles, let's go to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16, if you don't have a Bible, it's okay. We got it on the screen behind me. But while you're turning there, let me give you a little more context. You see, God had come to this couple, Abram and Sarai, and he had promised them that they were going to have kids. And they're older, okay? I'm not going to call them old, but Sarai is 75, and her husband is 85, and they don't have any kids yet. And God comes to them and says, hey, you're going to have so many kids. There's going to be this great nation that comes out of you. And so we're talking kids, grandkids, and land. And 10 years go by, and they're like, all right, like, when is this going to happen? And they're waiting, and they're waiting, and they're like you and I, right? They're getting impatient. And so that's the background. And in light of that, Sarai, the wife, she says, you know what? God made this promise. Let me help him out. Let me help you out with your plan, your promise, God. Let me take things in my own hands and make this happen. So Genesis chapter 16, that's where we pick up verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him. Which, by the way, is a pretty big deal. In this near ancient East culture, this was a shame honor culture. And if you were a woman and you couldn't have kids, it would be like, what is wrong with you? And so she's experiencing all of that guilt, that mom guilt, that shame, that fear, not able to have kids. Verse 2, so Sarai and Abram, Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarai's proposal. That's a bad idea, guys. Just saying, if you need me to tell you that, something's wrong with you. Okay, this is crazy, okay? But in that culture, that was actually acceptable. To have a motherhood through a surrogate mom. But God did not design it that way. If you go back to Genesis chapters 1 and 2, he has a whole different plan and outlook for marriage. One man, one woman, that's his worldview. And even though that was acceptable practice in their culture, they come up with this plan, they go along with it. Abram's like, yeah, sounds like a good idea. I'm like, no, dude, you're going to end up on a reality TV show. Don't do that. And it's crazy, right? And Sarai is blaming God. No, this is God's fault. God has prevented me from being a mom. And they actually go along with it. Verse 3, look what happens. So Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abram as a wife. This happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So he goes along with it. It's really crazy, but they're immersed in this worldview, and they're trying to take things into their own hands instead of trusting God. But I don't want to be too hard on them. I mean, if God had come to me and said, Tim, I'm going to promise to do A, B, and C, and a year passed by, 2 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years go by, and I'm still waiting. Honestly, I'm starting to get impatient. Honestly, I'm starting to question, okay, did I miss the instructions? Did I misunderstand what he said? Like, was I supposed to do something? How is this all going to work out, right? And you're wondering and you're wrestling. I mean, waiting is like the most difficult thing to do. And you know this, right? If you go to the doctor's office, you go into a big waiting room, you fill out your paperwork, you check in, and then they bring you into another room, a smaller waiting room. A nurse comes in, she takes your pulse and checks your blood pressure, and then you're like, wait, for like another half hour. You're like, wait a minute, I was on time. And then the doctor comes in, he asks you a few questions, he leaves, and you wait more. Waiting is so incredibly difficult, but she's waiting for this promise that could radically transform her life. I mean, she's been waiting and wanting to be a mom her whole life. And yet, she comes up with her own plan, but take a look at what happens in verse 4. So Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarai with contempt. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. The Lord will show who's wrong, you or me?" Abram replied, "Look, she's your servant, so deal with her as you see." Then Sarai treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. So here's what happens, right? Hagar gets pregnant. She goes to Sarai and she goes, "Guess what? I'm a wife too, and I'm pregnant. Something you could never do. Ha ha." Right? And so now she's starting to stir the pot. She's sinning against Sarai, making things worse, and this is really complicating the whole dynamic. And so now Sarai is frustrated and she's angry. She despises Hagar, which is kind of understandable, but if she really believed that God was in this, she would have treated Hagar with a lot more kindness and grace and mercy. But she doesn't. She's cruel. She's mean. She's harsh to her. She goes to her husband. She's like, "This is your fault." And this guy is a passive husband, okay? He's like, "Hey, that's your maidservant, your problem. You deal with it. I'm out." Like, he just totally washes his hands of this, has no intentions of helping. He doesn't want to lead through this. He doesn't want to come alongside her. He just says, "Not my problem. You're on your own." And that's frustrating, right? I mean, it's crazy. The plan actually works. But the question is, do we trust God? Or do we try to do things our own way? You walk through this time where life doesn't make sense. You've got more questions than you have answers, and you're frustrated, and you're struggling, and you just, okay, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to shove this right through. I'm going to come up with my own plan. Or what does God's word say about it? And can I trust the creator of the universe? Can I trust his words? Well, take a look at what happens next. verse 7, Hagar has run away, and the angel of the Lord found Hagar beside a spring of water in the wilderness along the road to Shur. Verse 8, the angel said to her, Hagar, Sarai's servant, where have you come from and where are you going? Notice she only answers part of the question. I'm running away from my mistress Sarai, she replied. I think she's only answering the first part of the question because she doesn't know where she's going. In fact, she's in the wilderness and she's on the run. She's running away from her family dynamic. She doesn't really have a great social status to begin with. She's an Egyptian slave woman. She's been displaced from her actual family. Now she's living with Sarai and Abram, and things have gone sideways there. And so she runs away, and she's in the wilderness. She has no plan. She doesn't know where she's going. She doesn't know what God is doing. She doesn't know what he's up to. She doesn't know what's going on in her life. And all she knows is she's got a baby that she didn't plan for. And she wouldn't have choreographed it this way. I'm guessing she didn't write down in her journal, this is how I want my family to start. But here she finds herself on the run, not knowing where she's going, in the wilderness. And it says the angel of the Lord found her. That's really incredible because it's not like God lost track of her. It's not like God's like, okay, find Hagar. Where is she? Like, he knew exactly where she was. But he sends this angel. He finds her because he cares about her. He sees her. He hears her. He loves her. He sees all of the pain that's going on in her life. And I know when you and I walk through those situations that feel hopeless and aimless and filled with questions and doubts, and you're waiting and you're wondering, even in the midst of motherhood, I mean, there's so much mom guilt that ladies carry around with them. And I want you to know, here's the first declaration you can make. I am not alone because God sees me. No matter who you are, no matter what's happening in your life, God is near. He pursues this woman, Hagar. Even though she's on the run, even though she's going through the wilderness, even though she's in this really difficult time, he pursues her. He draws near to her. He cares about her. And I know all of us, myself included, have been in situations where we just feel completely alone. Many of us would probably be embarrassed to say that to some of our friends. But you call out to God, you cry out, you pray, and you feel like your prayers are just kind of bouncing off the ceiling or going out into outer space, and nobody hears anything. It's just complete radio silence. And you're at work, or you're at home, or you're with your kids, or maybe your kids have moved out and left the house, and you're just wondering, like, okay, what is next? What do I do now? And I want you to know that you're not alone. Because God sees you and he pursues you with that same type of love that he's pursuing Hagar with. He cares about her. But Hagar, her name actually means to flee, and that's exactly what she's doing. She's running away. But take a look at what happens in verse 9. The angel of the Lord said to her, I mean, this is incredible. Return to your mistress and submit to her authority. Probably not the advice she wanted to hear, but that's what she got. Verse 10, then he added, I will give you more descendants than you can count. And the angel also said, you are now pregnant, and you will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For the Lord has heard your cry of distress. I mean, that's incredible, right? You're going to have a child, and this child is going to grow up, and it's going to be a great nation. It's a different promise from what Abram and Sarai got. That child that they are going to have in the future will also become a great nation, but this child is going to be growing up into a great nation as well. But here's the thing I want you to grab onto. The name that God tells her to give this child. I want you to name this child God hears. That God not only sees you, but he hears you. And I think that this is going to be an amazing promise for her. In her trial, in her discomfort, in her pain, in her suffering, as she goes through the wilderness, as she wonders, like, what do I do now? How do I figure this out? How do I sort all this out? He says, no. I see you and I hear you. But Hagar realistically can expect nothing from God because she's a runaway slave in the wilderness. A slave woman in the ancient Near East had no social status. But God gives this lost, mistreated, abused, oppressed woman an incredible promise. You're going to have a child. And you're going to name him Ishmael, which means God hears. His name will always be a reminder to Hagar. God heard you. And so the second declaration we can make is, I'm not alone because God hears me. No matter what's happening in your life or where you're at right now or as you're walking through this journey of life, you need to know you're not alone. Even though your journey might feel lonely, you might feel abandoned, you might feel like I am all alone, I'm doing everything I can just to keep my head above water, you're not alone. And God not only sees you, he hears you. He hears your suffering. He hears your pain. He hears your discomfort. Sometimes I know you pray and it feels like no one answers. And sometimes God doesn't answer in our timing, or he doesn't answer in the way that I would like him to answer, but he does hear you. Sometimes he says yes. Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says not yet. Sometimes he says wait. Sometimes he's just saying, okay, I'm outside of time. I'm working things out and things that you don't understand. I'm putting together the pieces, but you may not see it later, but God hears you and he cares for you. But take a look at what God says next. Verse 12, this son of yours will be a wild man, as untamed as a wild donkey. He will raise his fist against everyone, and everyone will be against him. Yes, he will live in open hostility against all his relatives. She responds, and she gives him this name, Ishmael. God hears, and notice how Hagar responds to God in all of this. Verse 13, she says, okay, thereafter, Hagar used another name to refer to the Lord who had spoken to her. She said, you are the God who sees me. She also said, have I truly seen the one who sees me? Verse 14, so that well was named Beer Lahairoi, which means well of the living one who sees me. It can still be found between Kadesh and Barad. And that word see or seen was repeated 5 times in just those 2 verses. And as God is actually speaking through Moses is the one that's penning down the book of Genesis. He keeps repeating this word over and over and over again all throughout this passage. And it's not because Moses has a lack of vocabulary. It's because God wants you and I, as we read this, to go, huh, that word keeps repeating. I wonder if it's important. I don't know about you, but I have a pretty thick skull. I need things repeated over and over and over again before I finally get it. And so he's saying, God sees you, God sees you, God sees you, God sees you. In fact, he sees you so much, we're gonna name this well after God sees you. You're gonna name your son, God hears you. Know this. No matter what's happening in your life, no matter what the wilderness looks like or where you're at in the stage of motherhood, maybe you're not a mom yet, but you want to be a mom. Maybe you're the single mom and you're just kind of like trying to hold down the fort. Maybe you're an empty nest mom. God sees you. God hears you. Maybe you've just struggled through that motherhood, right? Maybe it's just been miscarriage after miscarriage, or you've lost children and you are a mom, physical children aren't in your house. God sees you. He hears you. In a moment, I want to share a story from one of our ladies, and she's going to walk through her story. But before we get to that story, let me share this verse 15 with you. It says, so Hagar gave Abram a son, and Abram named him Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Ishmael was born. So the rebuke was actually for Sarai and Abram too. Like, they're part of this to see, okay, God hears you, right? They're the ones seeing this boy Ishmael grow up. And every time they hear this boy Ishmael, get in here for dinner, right? God hears you, right? They're reminded of that. It's incredible. Let me show you the story from this woman. This is Amber Peterson. Go ahead and play that video.
So I've been through many seasons as a mom, and I was married pretty young. I was a mom to Philip by age 22 and Dory by age 24, and I really enjoyed being a mom to them. But when we tried to have more kids, I had miscarriage after miscarriage, I think 3 or 4 miscarriages. This was a really tough time for me emotionally, and even though God had blessed me with 2 beautiful children, I really struggled to know why this was happening and what God was trying to teach me through this. But I knew that He was with me through everything, and I just really tried to trust Him through everything that was going on. When Philip and Dory were really young, my husband became mentally ill, and it was very tough time trying to juggle, you know, motherhood and caring for a sick husband. And even though there was a lot of stresses and things going on in my life, I knew that that wasn't a license for me to sin. And God really brought back verses from when I was a teenager. I relied heavily on 1 Peter 5:7, and it's cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. And I knew that through all of this, God never left me. He was there. He really wanted me to just share my heart and to talk to Him about what was going on. I know that God is a great conductor, and I know that He was directing my steps through everything, and I know that He was preparing me for my future through all of my trials that I was going through. God was teaching me a lot through this time, just that I needed to come to Him and talk to Him through the pain and the things I was going through. My husband did improve, but for the next 5 years after, I did a lot of parenting alone. And it was at this time that I began serving again at church and reading my Bible on a consistent basis. I know God doesn't always give us the answers to our whys, but I understand now that He was preparing me for my future. In 2008, my husband became severely ill again, and he disappeared. 5 months later, we found out that he had passed away. And it was just 7 days prior to his disappearance that I found out again that I was pregnant with Brayden. God knew that I needed Brayden in my life. He allowed me to carry him to term. So I was a widow, single mom of 3. I was homeschooling with a newborn, but I had a really good support system. And I knew that in that place, in that moment, God saw me and that He was with me every step of the way. I can share with you story upon story of unexplainable peace and provision that He has given me through this time in my life. As a mom, my heart was broken for my children and for the future that they wouldn't have with their father. I know now that I could have done a better job helping them cope, but I am so, so thankful that God is the ultimate healer and that through my brokenness and my sinfulness, God was there for all of us through our family and friends and our community. God allowed me to remarry Andrew, and He took my children as His own, and He loved them as His own. And then He blessed me as a mom once again with Aaron in 2013. There's a 12-year age gap between my children, and because of that, I am in a rare motherhood stage. I've watched my oldest 2 grow up and leave the nest, but I still have a 14 and 10-year-old at home. I have felt the joy and the pride and the brokenheartedness of a child leaving home, yet still being in the mundane with dishes, laundry, and wondering what my real purpose is in life. Does God still see me and know me? In new and different ways, He's been telling me yes. I just need to be faithful in what He's called me to do today, whether that's vacuuming, school projects, sports, or wedding planning. He loved me enough to send His Son to die so that I can have a new and abundant life with Him. I am no one special. I am an introverted mom of 4 with little formal education from a small town in Pennsylvania, but I know that God sees me and He has a sovereign plan that He has laid out before the foundations of the earth. So what I want people to know who are hearing my story is that God sees you too. He knows you by name and He loves you. You might not feel it or see it now, but He has a plan for your life. You are not alone. You are not forsaken. You are not forgotten in whatever your motherhood journey looks like. My name is Amber Peterson, and I'm here to make more and better disciples for Jesus Christ.
You can clap for that. Yeah. It's amazing to watch God at work. So many things He's doing behind the scenes that we have no idea. So many questions we have that we don't always get the answers. We don't always get the answers we want. Sometimes we don't get the answers at all. But no matter who you are, no matter what's happened, you're not alone. Jackie Perry says this. She says, God doesn't have to explain the season you're in or why He's allowed it. Jesus has already explained God. So even when you don't know everything, remember what you know about Him. You just got to keep reminding yourself, this is what is true about God. He pursues us. He loves us. He sees us. He hears us. He knows you. And I know, waiting can be incredibly difficult. And so I think the only thing worse than waiting on God is wishing that you had. You're not alone. You're not alone because God sees you. He sees you and He hears you. Like I said earlier, the only thing worse than waiting is wishing that you had. So no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what the season is, whether you just came out of the wilderness or you're in the wilderness right now or you're about to head into the wilderness, know that you are not alone. He sees you and He hears you. Let me pray for you. God, it's an incredible day. I know for many, it's a day of joy and excitement. I know for many, it's a challenging day. It's a struggle filled with pain and discomfort and memories that are not fun. And so God, I don't know what's happening in all of the lives of our women and all the lives of our men here today. But today I just ask that You would make it really obvious and clear that You are near. Make it really clear and obvious that You are pursuing them, that You see them and that You hear them. And I just ask that You would wrap Your loving arms around them in this season. Help them, draw them close to You, and let them see that You are the rock that they can stand on, the refuge and shelter they can run to. Pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.